Well, good morning, girls and boys. Good to see you. All present? That's good. Let's turn to Psalm 15, please. We're going to read a couple of verses from the beginning of the psalm. It's not a very big psalm. We could nearly read all of it, but I want to direct your attention to what it is we will be looking at this morning. The psalm starts off, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" That's a question, a very important question. Then we have the answer to that question, and the importance of the question is seen in the fact that the answer is quite long. The answer is not just a few words, but the answer covers quite an area. We have already looked at two things mentioned in the answer. First of all, the walk that we have to engage in if we're going to dwell in God's presence. And then also the works that we have to do if we're going to engage with the Lord in worship. So let's read verse 2. "He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness." They go together. Person who's walking right with God and in the light of his word, he'll work holiness. He'll work holiness. You can't get a person walking in the light of God and acting sinfully. It's just not possible. Just not possible. It goes on, "and speaketh truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbour, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbour." Now, we've considered the walk, we've considered the works, to some degree. Now, words, words. The person who is going to enjoy fellowship with God, you'll know them by their words, by their words. You know, how you talk, what you talk about, tells what you are, tells us what you are. It reveals so much. Reveals so much. So, what we're going to consider then this morning are what God has to say here in these statements regarding the words of the one who will fellowship with him. "He speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor." And again, notice the extensiveness of the answer. It's not just a wee short statement regarding how we talk, but God really goes into the matter and explains to us how it is we should speak, what it is our tongues should be engaged in. That's what we're going to look at today in the will of the Lord, and I hope we get it all done. So, let's start with a simple truth. The holy walk and the holy work will be marked by holy talk. Holy talk. "He that speaketh the truth in his heart." Now, when we think of ourselves speaking, we think of our mouth. I can't speak without moving my mouth. That's how I form words. Moving my tongue and moving my lip. But God here speaks of, speaketh the truth in his heart. You see, sometimes what our mouth says is not what our heart is saying. The Bible is filled with examples of this. For simplicity's sake, I'll mention one whose name I've mentioned many times as an example of sin. Judas. Judas mingled with the other disciples, was in the presence of the Lord, he spoke to the Lord, he spoke to the other disciples, and they gave the impression that he was a real believer, that he was a real Christian. But that's not what he was in his heart. So when he spoke to the Lord and said, "I believe in thee, Lord," that's not what his heart was saying. We can tell lies with our lips, because we're speaking that which is not what we really believe and what we really are. And we need to remember that, for it's out of the heart that a man speaks. That's what a man truly is, what a man truly believes. So he can hide what he really is by putting on words that give the impression that he's not what he really is inside. Now, boys and girls, you can do that. You can do that. You do that, for instance, when you do something wrong and the eye of suspicion falls upon you. Mommy says, daddy says, teacher says, did you do that? Oh, no. But in your heart, you're saying, yes, I did. I know I'm guilty. But your mouth is saying the opposite. You understand what I mean, don't you? Well, the Lord doesn't like that. And the Lord's not deceived. Oh, you may deceive mommy and daddy and teacher. They might believe you when you say, oh, no, I didn't do it. But God knows what's in your heart. And if we're going to fellowship with the Lord, walk with the Lord, then we have got to speak the truth from our hearts. The Lord Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Matthew 12:35. So, what the heart is what we speak. That's why we need to be born again. That's why we need our heart renewed. That's why we need a new heart. Because our heart is sinful. And out of it comes nothing but sin. And God is driving home this truth to us. You cannot dwell with me. You cannot abide with me. You cannot fellowship with me. Unless you have a heart that's clean and pure and truthful. The state of our hearts then determines the character of our words, the character of our conversation. You know, there's shrubs that are to be found growing, and they have the appearance to the eye of being very beautiful, delightful colours. But if you put down your nose to smell them, oh, awful, awful. Just the odour, the perfume that comes from the flower is dreadful. It's a stink. And that's the way men may be. They might put on a show, but there's a vapour that arises from their life, from their words, that is horrid and awful. You see, the heart of the unconverted man is just like such a flower, such a shrub. And the Lord Jesus, again in Matthew, quoted there from Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, here we are in Matthew 15, and the verse 19 and 20. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. The last two mentioned there have to do with the words we speak. False witness, that's telling lies. Blasphemies, that's speaking evil of God. And that all comes from the heart. And God says, a person in whom there is such a heart cannot fellowship with me. You must be born again. You must have your heart renewed by the grace of God. If we are to abide with the Lord and dwell with him from day to day, then notice that our talk, being very important, the Lord enlarges upon this. He has said quite a bit in the first phrase at the end of verse 2 there. The man who's going to dwell with me speaketh the truth in his heart. But God doesn't leave it there. He goes on to explain what exactly that means. He says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbour, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbour. So, the Lord emphasizes the importance of our words by enlarging upon his explanation. Backbiteth, not with the tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor. God's going into details here. He doesn't want you to be mistaken. He's deliberately showing you point by point what he's talking about when he speaks here of truth in the heart. The Lord Jesus teaches us the great commandment, the two of them, and the second one, he tells us, is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is Matthew chapter 22 and the verse 39. Now what the Savior is saying here when he sums up the law of God in response to someone who's asking him, well, what are the great commandments? Then the Savior tells him. And he says, the first being, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your being. Well, the second one, he says, is similar. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what's being explained to us here in Psalm 15. That's what's being explained. Boys and girls, I want you to know, there's nothing new in the Bible in the sense that what is written in Genesis is somehow or other overruled, replaced in the New Testament. But you find right from Genesis through to Revelation the same truth. Oh yes, it's developed, it's opened up, it's enlarged upon, but it's the same truth. I was just looking at the daffodils yesterday. How refreshing it is to look on the old daffodil. I say old because it's the daffodil that produced flowers last year and the year before and the year before. Why, it's been doing this for years, this beautiful daffodil. And a month ago, it began to produce a bud. But inside that bud, closed up and all as it was, inside it was everything that is now on wonderful display. Those petals, they were all there. In the bud, though I couldn't see them. But I knew they were there. And as the time went by, they opened up. Well, that's the way it is with God's Word. I've told you before, out there in nature, you have an explanation of the Bible. And I can read in Genesis the buds of truth. But as I read on through the Bible, they are gradually opened up until they're in their fullness in the New Testament. Don't you see that? Here the Lord Jesus is telling us we must love our neighbor as ourselves. And to love our neighbor as ourselves means that we don't backbite with our tongues, nor do evil to him, or take up a reproach against our neighbor. That's what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. And boys and girls, I'll emphasize in the third place that you can do evil against your neighbor with your tongue. You don't have to go to their house and burn it down. You don't have to hide and wait on them passing by and jump out and thump them with a stick. You can do evil against your neighbor with your tongue. That's what God says. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. That's what it means to love your neighbor. And if you don't love your neighbor, then there's no place in God's company and God's presence for you. There's no place in heaven for you. Our tongue, I tell you, can be very hurtful against those round about us, against those in school here round about us. Oh, I have seen it over the years. There have been boys and girls who have hurt fellow pupils by whispering things about them that weren't true. And they deliberately did that to hurt the person. I want to tell you, in God's eyes, that's a most wicked thing. Now, consider exactly what it is that the Lord says. I was thinking as I looked at, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. In other words, he that doesn't bite the back of a neighbor, someone they are acquainted with. And as I thought on that, just standing here, There came to my mind a picture, again, from out there in the world of nature. Now, I don't know about you, but I like watching videos that are centered upon the activities of animals. And I've watched many videos regarding lions, leopards, cheetahs, those sort of animals. And it's very interesting. And today, thanks to technology, the cameraman can stand hundreds of yards away but zoom in with his lens so the face of the lion is filling the screen. We're told how they go out and hunt their food. What do? They chase after the animal and they jump on their back. They jump on their back, particularly the lion, and it bites into the back of the animal it's trying to kill. And it's biting at its spine, that ridge that runs down your back. If that's damaged or broken, you'll be paralyzed. And the old lion knows that if he can bite into the spine of the animal he's trying to kill, the animal will collapse. It'll not be able to run anymore, and he'll be able to kill it. Now, it's not by chance that God says we're not to backbite. You can do great harm to a person by speaking evil of them behind their back. Behind their back. Never be guilty of that. Never be guilty of that. Some people seem to delight in passing on information about others that's not good. They like to report to their acquaintances, their friends, what so-and-so has said or done or is being said about them. And it's not good. And they're doing it to really hurt the person. That's backbiting. And it's wrong. And it's so wrong, God says you'll not be in my company if you do that. Backbiteth, you're not to do that, nor do evil to your neighbor, nor take an upward approach against your neighbor. That take up a rumor of some wrongdoing that they are supposed to have engaged in. And as a reproach, you spread it around. God says, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like it to the extent that if you engage in it, you'll not be in my company. So we should act like the Lord, you know. And when someone comes to us and says, do you know what I heard about so-and-so? We should say, just a minute, I don't want to know. Are you right in what you're saying about that person? Or are you spreading slander and lies? I don't want to know. That's what God says. And we should be like the Lord in this matter. The word evil there, he backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor. That word means mischief or affliction. That's how it appears in other places. You see, the mouth, according to Psalm 10 and the verse 7, the mouth of the evil man, the wicked man, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. The wicked man, he can do much harm with his tongue. He can do much harm with his tongue. It can be like a whip. It can scourge people, hurt people, afflict people. I say to us all, we need to be careful what we say about others and take heed to what God says here. One final thing. What the Lord says here, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, that's what we're not to do. But our heart is capable of doing that. Therefore, we've got to harness our heart and hold it in and control it. I wish we had time this morning to look in detail at the third chapter of James. You look it up sometime or other on your own. The third chapter of James. And it's all about controlling our tongue. It starts off, verse 1 of James chapter 3. Brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You know what a bridle is? It's part of the harness that the farmer puts on a horse to control the horse, to make the horse work for him. And we are to bridle our bodies to work for God. And the first thing we bring under control is our tongue. That's the first thing. And as you read down James chapter 3, you will find the apostle wonderfully illustrating what it is he's saying. He says the great ship on the ocean is brought under control by a very small little instrument, a piece of wood that's found at the back of the ship, down under the water, the rudder. And it's still the same today in the most modern of ships. And that's how they steer the ship, make it go wherever they want. Just the movement of this small little instrument that's hidden out of sight. And the course of your life will be greatly affected by the controlling of your tongue. That's what God says. The psalmist in Psalm 39 verse 1 says, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. And remember, the horse is steered with a little piece of metal in its mouth to which is attached reins. And you pull the rein one way and it'll go that way. The other way, it'll turn the other way. The great, big, strong animal is controlled by a little piece of metal in its mouth. And your life will take whatever direction your mouth sets it upon. We must rein in our tongues and hold them in check. James chapter 1, verse 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You know what a vain thing is? Empty. Nothing. Just a vapor. This morning when I got up and looked out the window, the fields were covered with vapor. Mist. That's all a mist is. And it amounted to nothing. And when the sun begins to heat up, it'll disappear. Disappear. Well, the religion of a man who doesn't control his tongue is no religion at all. That's what God says. If you want to dwell with me, you want to fellowship with me, you've got to control your tongue. You've got to control your tongue. Especially with regard to your neighbor. May the Lord have mercy on us and help us to heed his word. Let's bow in prayer. Bless your word to our hearts today, Lord. Help us to understand it and take it in and practice it. Bless the boys and girls. Bless the teachers. Bless our school today and undertake for it in all its needs, remembering those across the world, those saints of thine, Lord, disturbed and afflicted. Answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.